Gemara in Meir Tottenham, Dachobobam Dalef, says that there are three occasions when one has to rend one's garments in Eretz Yisrael. Number one, Alor Yehuda in the cities of Yehuda, you see the cities of Yehuda in their state of ruin. Val HaMikdosh, Val Yerushalayim. Come to Yerushalayim, the old city, Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, Kriya. And then you come to the Beit HaMikdosh, you see the Mekayim HaMikdosh, Shualim Hol Chuboi. You see the matzav in which the Beit HaMikdash is today. Then you have to tear Kriya. The entire sugya may cut and daf chavot. And it's brought down the halacha in the Rambam and Hilchos Tamiyot, Perikei and Hilchos Eivel, as well as in Shulchan Aruch, in Eira Chaim Simen, Tov Kuf Samach Aleph. However, this halacha seems to, at least for many people, all have fallen into, but have fallen into disuse. No one is Nisar, and even those who are Nisar, as we shall see in a rather peculiar way, in the way that we observe this halacha today. So first of all, I would like to have a look at the opinions in the poskim with regard to these three careers that one has to tear upon encountering Yerushalayim, or Yehuda Yerushalayim, and Mekayim HaMikdash. Or Yehuda is a machlokes, it seems in the Achronim that this refers to the cities of the tribe of Yehuda, those which were actually located in the geographical zone, which was designated by the Torah and Parashat Matthew, according to the instructions of Parashat Matthew for the tribe of Yehuda. And there are those who understand that this refers to the Shevet of Malchus Yehuda, the section, the portion in Eretz Yisrael, which was occupied by the tribes of Binyamin and Yehuda, and their entire section is called Yehuda. This is a halacha that very few people, if any, fulfill today, and there's no obvious reason why. The only reason that we could possibly suggest is the reason which is offered by Rabbi Yechiel Michal Tukachinsky in his Sefer Eretz Yisrael, who was in Mechaber Gesher Chaim, and many Sforim Nechvodim, and there he says that we don't know where the Ori Yehuda were anymore, something which I find a little bit strange, because whilst we may not know where all the Ori Yehuda were, we certainly should be able to locate, pinpoint the sites upon which some of the Ori Yehuda stood in times bygone. At any rate, Ori Yehuda seems to not be much of an issue today. Yerushalayim and Mekayim HaMikdash. Now, b'negeir to Mekayim HaMikdash, k'mat everyone says Yochayes Tzer Kriya. B'negeir to Yerushalayim, there is a multiple pronged dispute, machlekes, between the poskim today. There is a landmark response to Meshuvah of Moshe Feinstein and Igus Moshe Erechaim Chelek Hei, volume 5, Siman Lamed Zayin, number 37. When he speaks about the Chiyuvim al Iyas Yerushalayim, Kri al Iyas Yerushalayim, or Iyas Mekayim HaMikdash. And he also mentions Ori Yehuda as well, but his Arichas is with regard to Yerushalayim. And he establishes the idea that Haraya Yerushalayim B'churbono, the key word B'churbono in its state of ruin, based on the poskim, has two connotations. Number one, it's lying literally in ruin. But number two, it's inhabited by non-Jewish people. And number three, it may be inhabited by Jewish people, but it is under foreign dominion. It's under the rulership, under the Mamshallah of Goy. Therefore he says, and I quote verbatim, Shein Kein Ato, from Moshe Feinstein, Zechatzadik Vivocha, right? Shein Kein, if this is the case, Ato now, Shebechasti Hashem Yisborach, the result of many kindness of Hashem, Ein Moshe Ma'umim Palor, Yehuda Val Yerushalayim, foreign nations no longer rule over Yehuda and Yerushalayim, Vehem Gam Yerushalim, and they are also inhabited by Jewish people, Hutam God, this provides a strong basis, Shaloi Nikroya, not to run one's garments in Yerushalayim, because it is no longer in a state of Bechur Bono, in this context. Ah, Sheidayim Lebo HaGulo HaMidei Melech HaMashiach, even though the redemption has not yet arrived, Ro'onu Mitzpachadim Mahumet, and we are in a state of, we're obviously terrified of what could happen, God forbid. Nevertheless, Ein Nikroya. We shouldn't run our garments. However, the ones that say, "Avol kisharei mekayim hamikdash, yidainu b'chorboni," when you see the mokam hamikdash, based on the Maravi, or when you see the area of the mekayim hamikdash from an aerial view, then v'leishayach shiyibon elo yidei melech hamashiach, and we know that this can only be built through Mashiach. Torah l'kora b'pshit, there's no question that we'll have to render with them. And what happens if Mashiach comes and the Beit HaMikdash won't be built straight away, maybe a duration of time? So the Moshe says he leaves that question alone. Shigavi melech HaMashiach and Heir of Yomenu, when Mashiach comes, Adin Lei Mashiach Tach Zman Ad Shiyibona, even if there may be a duration of time until the building is complete, Yerenu melech HaMashiach with some headroom in Echlas, if you don't need this Moshe, because you'll have some headroom and they will tell you what to do then. Ad Kan is the same as Shiyah. So nevertheless, although this is Moshe's opinion, there seems to be a number of other poskim who disagree, the machzer lishlish ulavia, to various degrees. Number one, let's start from the opposite extreme. The opposite extreme has been enunciated by Rabbi Shmuel HaLevi Vosner, Rav of Zichron Meir in Bnei Berak, in the Mechaber of Tshuva Shevet HaLevi, Mechelek Zayin Simen Ayin Chet, the Bavada Eloima Decha Hayoim Shashu Toim Biyad Menatze Hashem, Shol Yikorei Bechurbono. The Soif Soif Ir Ha'olikin Imushpelet Ashol Tachtiyo. We cannot say that Yerushalayim is now no longer b'churbono, because at the end of the day it is under the dominion of those who are menatei Hashem, people who run a secular government. But the same idea is also found in Biur Halacha from Rabbi Zilber, son of Rabbi Yamin Zilber, who straight after the Six-Day War wrote a letter in which he says that even when Yerushalayim will be inhabited by Jews, we still have to write clear mikol mokum hamimshal lo yikrei mimshal yehudi kol zman shechukei hamimshal lo yimnu chilul shabbos v'parhesia l'chadoyna b'seichichei ho'ir ha'kedusha ho'ore. According to Rabbi Zilber, it's not a question of a state under Jews, the question is the one it being a Jewish state. So therefore, so long as the mimshal is not Jewish, maybe Jews, maybe comprised of Jewish people, but the dominion is not done in a way that fits in with the Torah, and Ein Umma Zu Umma Ela B'Torah Tzeha, as the Tzadi Goyim says, so then he says one still has to tear Kriya. Having said that, of these two poskim, the Shevet HaLevi does express a degree of sophic. He has some qualms, because he says, in parenthesis, that it may be possible to suggest that actually in this context, what we're interested in is a mansholah, a government that allows Jews to live there, in contrast to a government of Goyim that doesn't allow Jews to live there. If that's the case, then there would be no reason to tear Kriya for Yerushalayim today either, even according to the Shevet HaLevi. So there's a margin of hisus, but basically that is his shita. So that's the extreme shita on the other view. And that's based on the fact that the government is not observant and doesn't insist on the law, on the observance of the law, on the Shabbos, etc., etc. There are other views as well who argue in favor of tearing Kriya. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Chatzal, in Shabbos and Shuvah Tzimun HaShlomo, says, Chayishvani, I think, the whole man Shiroi Medayim B'ir HaKodesh V'HaMikdash K'nisiyei Shom Nochrim G'am Kibay Akum, so long as we see in the holy city houses of worship of other faith denominations, graves, etc., we are not able to uproot this phenomenon, it is still considered to be in a state of churban. So whether it is because the mimshal is not Jewish, and this is a lesson, he is not saying because of the government, it's back under Jewish rule, but at the end of the day, for Shvani, that because there is the Jewish rule is not complete. At the end of the day, we can't get rid of all the symbols and symptoms of idolatry and churban. So therefore, it's still considered to be the churbano, and one still has to tear Kriya. There may be another reason to suggest that you have to pay a kriya on Yerushalayim as well today, which is based on the following hakdama. After the Six-Day War, there were certain rabbonim in Eretz Yisrael who said that it's time to change the nusach of the Tefillah of Nachem. Tehem Tisha Bav Minchem, Yerushalayim Micho Barach Mitoshu, Nachem Hashem Rekeinu, as a and the most prominent among these rabbonim was Harav Chaim David Halevi, the author of Tshuva Tzelech Harav. He wrote extensively on this. You see, he wanted to modify the tefillah somewhat so that it should reflect the new reality. So he made small changes, but these nuances are significant. So, for example, instead of saying Ha'ira Avela, he said, he would say, her ear, shehoisa chareva, etc., etc. He acknowledges that Yerushalayim still needs comfort, but we can no longer refer to it as Avela Mibliba Meho, because thousands and tens of thousands of Jewish people are there. To the extent that he went to the degree and he said that someone who says the Tefillah in his traditional form is Oyvei on Dovish Korin Leneged Hashem, down before God in prayer, and he is offering up truth. And the modified version, if I'm not mistaken, was also included in the Rosenthal Kinnis that was popular for a while here in England as an alternative. However, the vast majority of Poskim and Israeli Yisrael ruled against this quite vehemently and considered this change to be inappropriate in some cases in the extreme. Rav Avi Yosef wrote a Shura in Chavadah, which he probably explains the issue very, very clearly. He says, first of all, we don't need any drush here. There's a basic halachic reason. Halachic reason is this. So, it's true that nowadays there are more Jews living in Yerushalayim than there were in times by God. Nevertheless, the center, the focal point of Yerushalayim is, of course, the Har HaBayis and its immediate environment. This area, that means the city center, from a Jewish perspective, is still very much under Gentile rule. The mosque, which is on the Har HaBayis, and we see not only a place which Tmei Meis are not allowed to go in, they actually take in Meis in Mamish. So all this clearly demonstrates how far we are from having any sort of rulership, a proper memshala over Yerushalayim, and for this alone, Yerushalayim is Ir HaAvela. And even the city of Yerushalayim, a large section of the city which is Man HaMikdash, Man HaBayis, is inhabited by Jews, is still inhabited by non-Jews, and it's not impossible for a Jew to go there. So we're talking about Yerushalayim or Atika. So therefore he looks at it as if there has been, of course, a shift, a change, but nevertheless, all within the same spectrum, there hasn't been this quantum leap from Churban to Binyan, and therefore we can say nothing. In addition to that, he goes on to say about the spiritual state of Yerushalayim, which there's a lot to cry about, etc., etc. But Ravela Mibriba Neho is true even in the physical sense of the word, because look, the Harabais is Ravela Mibriba Neho. And by Yeraluho Oivde Zorim, that it's being consumed by those who worship idols, is also true. So, and therefore this is a very convincing argument, and of course it's the basis for the reason that we don't reform after showing the nusach of Tefillah Nachem. Now of course this same argument could be applied and suggested for Kriya. Once we've accepted that it's still Ha'ir Ha'avela V'Chareva V'Habzuyev HaShemema in the context of Tefillah Nachem and Tisha B'Av, so by the same token we should also write Kriya, the very same Hezbe, who had been, who had time, for writing Kriya when we come to Yerushalayim, and this is my own top and take me, which I would like to contribute towards the discussion. More, there's another couple of ideas which have been suggested by some.
What we call today the area of the place, that's not really part of Harabai.
No, according to most opinions. There is
Yerushalayim,
like it's not the Kohen Mikdash. If it would be in the Kohen Mikdash, it wouldn't be able to go there. There are different opinions as well, but the accepted opinion is that the area in the Rachavas Kofel Marovi is not considered to be in the Kohen Mikdash or Harabai. No, in Harabai. There is another possibility as well, which is again a different plan from the whole thing. There's a klal in halacha: whenever you make a bracha, you have to say me'in achsima samach achsima. One of the questions is in Shmoneh Esrei, you say the shlaim is brought from Toshim Tishkum Tefer Kasha Gedalto, and then according to Mr. Hashkina, of me, so because they mean the Dimon Leilon, the Chisei Dolid Avdecho Meheiro Techo Tochi. So the Chayra, the Chisei Dolid Avdecho, that belongs to Samach Dolid. The Baruch is about being in Yerushalayim, not about Chisei Dolid Avdecho. So you should say first the Chisei Dolid Avdecho, and then of me, so because of Yomein of Dimon Leilon, or of Hakrasha, and then in Yerushalayim, so you should have Meina Tzimah, Samach Avdecho. And indeed, according to certain dialects of Nusachar itself, we have to say it in that way. First, and then when they also. But what maybe the hezbo for the Nusachar Ashkenaz? So, I've seen in several Sifri, in Drush, Sifri Halacha, the following suggestion. That actually, Yerushalayim is intrinsically linked with Malchus based on it. You see this from the Gemara in the seventh Pesach of Brachos, that when you bench, when you say the Brachos for Ben Yerushalayim, you have to mention Malchus based on it. Malchus based on it in Shechach, if you don't mention Malchus based on it, then you're not used to the Brachos. It's an intrinsic part of Dichos Ben Yerushalayim to mention Malchus based on it. Why? Because Yerushalayim, we're not just talking about the rebuilding of the houses, or even the spiritual infrastructure of the city. We're talking about the restoration of Yerushalayim in its glory. And therefore, Yerushalayim without Malchus Beis David is not the Yerushalayim that we are governing for. And that's why Yerushalayim Ircha and Malchus Beis David always go together. And therefore, even when we say the Loshen of the Sister of the Abraham, the Sister of the that still can be seen as an intrinsic part of Birchus Binyan Yerushalayim. And in the Nevi'im also we find several places where the Torah, where the Novi connects Bechiras Hashem Yerushalayim and Bechiras Hashem the Malchus Beis David in tandem. And that I've seen, and I'm applying it here as well. One could argue in a similar vein that clearly Yerushalayim and the Mekom HaMikdash goes together. We know the Shita of the Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos in the Sefer Rosh Hashanah is HaMikdosh Tikori Yerushalayim Kula. The Gabi Edim of Toikim HaMikdosh Yom Tosh Rosh Hashanah Shchal Yitzvah Shabbos Toikim HaMikdosh. The Shita of the Rambam is HaMikdosh Tikori Yerushalayim Kula. The whole of Yerushalayim is called Mikdosh, because essentially Yerushalayim means the place in which there is the Beis HaMikdosh. The Kedusha of Yerushalayim stems from the fact that it is the Ushpizin Nishchino, it is the host for the Beis HaMikdash. So once again, the same idea. If you don't have the Beis HaMikdash, then Yerushalayim is not yet rebuilt, and again this justifies the Nusach. Obviously, all these viewing are possible suggestions for why we should still tear Kriya. At the end of the day, it remains a machlokes between contemporary Paskim, between the Minchas Shlomo and Oybach, and also Moshe Feinstein. But they all agree that for the Mekom HaMikdash Mamish, one should definitely tear Kriya. Now, of course, there are certain hetelim, or ways of circumventing tearing Kriya. One, as Rishon Zalman expresses in detail, is that you go there at a time when you don't need to tear Kriya, such as Erev Shabbos after Chatzos Tzeyoim, according to the Minhag Kolomoyot Shabbos Yom Tov. And once you've seen the areas, then you can go within 30 days without tearing Kriya again. That is, if you want to circumvent the obligation, then of course that's the best way to do it. There is another way of doing it, which some people have the habit, is that they are makne the garments to each other, so they shouldn't need to tear Kriya neither for Yerushalayim or for the Mekom HaMikdash. This is problematic. First of all, it's questionable. Can't go into Hol Shi and Chesha Mishpat about whether the Darki HaKinyonim, the methods of acquisition that they employ, are actually effective. But more important, as the Shevet HaLevi in his above mentioned Shura says, and I will paraphrase and elaborate upon, it seems to go against the spirit. Yes, like the Gemara says in Brachas, of Lamed Hei Amid Beis, the difference between the Deiris HaRishonim and the Deiris HaRachronim. Yes, Deiris HaRishonim, they brought in their produce Derech Pnei Abayit, Mashiach Kim Zeret Sachrin, and brought them in Derech Gagis, Derech Kachatelis, Derech Kachatelis, eventually inspired with the Maisa. The norm is, you're supposed to write Kriya. Now understand, you can get out of it. Yeah? So, to do this, you need to be going against, you're not over on the letter of the law, but you're over on the spirit of the law. Yes? So, what do you want to get out of it for? This is a proper proceeding. You come to Yerushalayim, you witness the Mekoyim and the Amikdash, you witness the Mekoyim of the Chulban, so you should write clear. It's not as if it's a very expensive commandment. You can take an old shirt, you don't need to tear an expensive garment, and you can even wear the same one, or you can even buy a special cheap garment especially in order to write clear, but in order to give tangible expression to the tearing of clear. I saw a limud chus in the sefer from Pesachim of the Mishnah Halachos, Menashe HaKotan, Chelek Vav, where he says something very strange, in my opinion, but I quote it only because it serves as a shtickle limud chus for those people who don't care Kriya at all, even from the Kol HaMikdash. They don't go there on a Friday or Chol HaMoed, they don't sell their garments or swap them, and they don't care Kriya. And he suggests, as I said, it's quite a radical suggestion from a normative approach, that the chiyuv of kriya is not a normal obligation where you can just fulfill it by doing the ma'aseh. The chiyuv of kriya has got to be an expression of internal grief. If it becomes a ritualistic act, void of any internal motivation, feeling of avelus and grief, then there's no point in tearing kriya. Therefore, he suggests that this also, again, is a limud chus. That maybe this could be a limud chus from people who don't tear kriya at all because they feel themselves far removed from the whole idea of what it's all about, that it would become just a meister kriya ba'alma to tear kriya when it doesn't have any deep emotional basis. That I'm saying that only as a limud chus. I don't like the idea of swapping garments. I think that the best thing, of course, would be to take a shirt or a t-shirt or whatever one wears. You don't need to be mappy to tear a jacket on such an occasion. And you tear a kriya, and you can tear a kriya twice on the same garment, yes, another tefach, and one can actually be yotzei to the mitzvah. And we see that many Gedolei Yisrael did tear a kriya when they went to Yerushalayim. Even Gedolim who lived in Eretz Yisrael, many of them did tear kriya when they went to Yerushalayim in accordance with the din the way it's supposed to be. Of course, the connection of this topic to this time requires no explanation. We're number one in the middle of the 3 weeks, and number two, we are in reality, existentially, in a period of time where the Churban, the Matzav of Golus, is very apparent, even Leinei Ha'amim, as we hear today what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. So, both the Zman Bashana and also the Tekufa in which we find ourselves certainly warrant a focus on the whole notion of Golus and Geula, Churban and Binyan, etc., etc. Incidentally, just for some humorous relief, I saw that there is a teshuvah of one of the poskim who says, I think it's in Rav Zilber's teshuvah, where he cites an opinion. He says that the chal. We don't need to tear kriya. We can't say that Yerushalayim is under Jewish rule because actually Yerushalayim is under American rule. So that's why we can't tear kriya. We should still tear kriya. But coming back to the main topic here, what I wanted to say in the last few minutes that's left in the shiur is as follows. The emphasis is that the limud chus provided by the Mishnah Halachos from Menashe Klein is a limud chus on the one hand, but it's also a shtickle Kitru people may say so on the other hand. Because essentially it's asking the question, why is it that Jews for thousands of generations did feel close enough to the Beis HaMikdash and did sense the Churban and we don't? Now obviously one of the reasons is Vayishman Yishui, affluent. So when we're feeling relatively safe in our comfortable areas in Golders Green or Hendon or wherever it is, then of course we're not going to feel so touched by the state of a Churban. And there are other reasons as well. But in this juncture, I think that it's kedai to say over a moshul which has been attributed variously to Reb Chaim, to Reb Chaim of Tanz, others attributed to the Chofetz Chaim, and it may be that they both use this moshul, and if you've heard it before, please forgive me because it bears a repetition. The famous story about a king who had a son who behaved, and because of his consistent misdemeanors, the king had to send him away from the palace. So he sent him to the Mokum Rafik, a faraway place, and he had to there Rafik with the peasants. And it was hot and he didn't have air conditioning, and he was hungry and he didn't have the delicate food that they provided him in the palace, and things were really going bad. So, Bahia Yoim, the king feels Rachmanus on his son. So he decides he's going to go to this place. And he announces in advance, he sends a messenger to tell people that he's coming. And Yoim Ploimi Lachoydesh will be arriving with his entourage, and anyone that comes and writes a request on a piece of paper and throws the request into the carriage in which the king will be sitting, the king will pick it up and will grant that request whatever it may be. So the Ben HaMelech, the prince, also hears about this. So he's finding it very difficult. It's hot, summer, so he writes a request on a piece of paper and he asks for two things. One, he asks for that he should have a hut, that he should be able to be protected from the heat on the mountain top. And two, he should be given a little bit of money so he can buy some food. That's what he asks for. And he practices throwing the paper, and it comes the day, the big day, and he pushes and shoves his way through the crowds and the throngs of people coming to see the king. He throws it in. The king picks it up and he reads it and he bursts into tears. He recognizes the writing of his son and he bursts into tears because he realizes how far his son has gone. Rather than asking that he should be reinstated, be brought back to the palace where everything was to be taken for granted, what does he ask for? He asks for, he resigned himself to a situation living a life amongst the peasants, and what do they want? They want a bit of food and a hut. So the moshul is obvious and the mishul is likewise. Yes? When we come at any occasion, we think about the Torah Surahs, the Chole Yisrael HaMechor, those Mifanot, those are certain places where there's sorrow and shivya and all the other yoni. And we just ask for these details, we ask for Panos of the Chalkola, we ask for Zochias, we ask for all sorts of things, as great as they may be. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, why don't they even ask to be brought home? Why don't they feel that they are not in the right place? They don't belong where they are, they belong here. And as one of the Rebbe said, Mardua Libo Ben Yishai Hayoim El Halechem. Why? Has Mashiach not yet come? Because when you even daven, they daven about bread, they daven about panos to the chakol, ask for homeless meal. Better to ask for Mashiach, for being in Beit HaMikdash. And then, everything else will follow suit. So let's take this to heart, and Kiru Levavchem, Yal Bigdechem, or in addition to Bigdechem, if one's going to Yerushalayim, and maybe talk of Mizeichem, that Kala Mitzaber of Yerushalayim, Mizeichem, Veroi Bechubono, that you hope who you may mail the suffering or the simcha or may have been saving. Amen.